From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A number of recent reports based on new climate data suggest the news on global warming is not getting better. For example, in the Arctic, average daily temperatures are up a whopping 20 degrees from the average this winter, and a new draft report from the United Nations was just leaked, saying there's a, quote, very high risk that the planet would be warming beyond a tipping point. On the upside, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in early March that the Trump administration could not block a children-led lawsuit against the government over climate change from moving forward. That lawsuit is claiming that inaction on climate change is unconstitutional and jeopardizes the future of young people. Can we view the ongoing fueling of climate change as a crime? According to a new book, yes, we can. My guest is Dr. Peter Carter, founder of the Climate Emergency Institute. He served as an expert reviewer for the IPCC's fifth climate change assessment, and he's the co-author with Elizabeth Woodworth of the new book, Unprecedented Crime, Climate Science Denial, and Game Changers for Survival. Welcome to the program, Peter Carter.
Thank you very much, Sonali, and thank you for having me on.
So the news is grim, and you know, it's been for several years we've said that we're running out of time on the climate. These reports from the Arctic, you know, it seems like every other month there is a new report suggesting that climate change is absolutely on track to warm the climate, or it's worse than people thought, etc. And so there's absolutely no, it seems like there's no there's no denial, if we look at it from a scientific perspective, that we are in the midst of catastrophic climate change. And yet, of course, we have climate deniers, right?
We do indeed. And it's amazing that I've been involved in the climate change issue for many, many, many years. I'm a medically qualified doctor. My background is in environmental health protection policy. And I never imagined that we would still be faced with these dangerous climate change deniers. And of course, you know, now they've even in the American government, all levels, houses of the American government are full of dangerous climate change deniers now. So that situation is just unbelievably bad.
Just even the daily reports that we get about climate change are, you know, just show such a grand misunderstanding of climate. For example, the Daily Caller, which is a notoriously right-wing website, had a piece very recently saying that climate propaganda is reaching a tipping point because of all of the snow we're having on the East Coast during this winter, which shows, and this is something that Donald Trump has said before every time, and other climate deniers have shown, every time we have unusually cold weather, they see it as evidence against global warming, because I guess they don't understand the global part of global warming.
I would suggest that they understand global warming very, very well. Hmm. These people are, they're pretty bad people, but they're not unintelligent, you know, they're well educated and everything. And in actual fact, they have to understand climate change because of the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. I'm an expert reviewer for the IPCC. And we've had IPCC assessments of the climate change situation since 1990. The last one was the fifth one in 2014. And the thing about the assessments, and it's very unusual, it's unique to climate change, is that not only do all the scientists have to agree on the science that they publish, but their science can't be published until every single government in the world has signed off and agreed to what they write. So after 1990 assessments for this long, it's absolutely completely impossible for somebody with any intelligence really at all not to understand that the IPCC has to be right, that there is global warming, there is climate change, it's progressing rapidly, and For the past two assessments, I should say that the IPCC has said that global warming and climate change is unequivocal.
Yeah.
So that means that every single association of science says that global warming, climate change is unequivocal, and every single government says it's unequivocal. So President Trump and his administration, oh yeah, they make it very obvious that they know, right? You know, President Trump says climate change is a hoax, and they say all kinds of stupid and crazy things. They know what they're doing. They're doing it, obviously, for the fossil fuel industry. And with this new administration in America, with the ties to the fossil fuel industry, I mean, it is now totally, completely.
And I should mention to our audience that you are from Canada.
Peter,
because, of course, climate change is a phenomenon that not only has the potential to harm people on a mass level, but is already doing so, the denying that climate change is a real thing veers into the territory of a crime. And in fact, in your book, you say climate change denial as a crime against humanity. So this lawsuit that I mentioned, Our Children's Trust, we've covered this on our program before, the fact that it's being allowed to go forward and time and again has had one legal victory after another is quite heartening. Remind us, what is the basis of their case and why we should be looking at the issue of climate change as a crime?
Well, Our Children's Trust is one bright light in otherwise, as you say, an increasingly bleak picture. They started in 2011. It's very interesting from the point of view of the legal aspect of it, which I researched for the book. And Mary Wood, Professor Mary Wood in Oregon, we've got to thank her for the original legal groundwork. I read her book. It's an incredibly good book. And she documents that there's actually a very, very long history from the American government and the American legal opinions and decisions on what's called the public trust doctrine. And the public trust doctrine, in actual fact, that's very interesting because that goes, in actual fact, right back to Roman times. So this is thoroughly established in American and also world law. And what the Our Children's Trust, there are now 22 youth involved in essentially taking the federal government to court on the claim, which is painfully obvious now, that the government, all governments, are not protecting the planet. For the we're talking now this generation, you know, 10, 15 years ago we were talking about our grandchildren. We're now talking about the generation of today's children who are going to face a pretty horrendous planet as they're growing up. So it's an absolutely wonderful thing that we do have this law. It is well established. And obviously, Our Children's Trust lawyer, who is Julia Olson, obviously she's doing a great job with it. Because as you say, they've gone through all the hoops to get to trial. And the Trump government threw in what it hoped would be a spanner, which is called a mandamus writ. And so they had to go back and they had to argue right. Their case before the Ninth Circuit. And as you say, I think it was just the day before yesterday that I received the news that they had won that as well.
Right. So and for our American audience, of course, that would be a wrench. But
yes!
you make in your book the case for why climate change is also a moral issue. And interestingly enough, there is an evangelical Christian who's very, Catherine Hayhoe, who is a climate scientist and evangelical Christian, who has also made this case. How important is it for us to look at this as an issue of morality?
Oh, it's very important because, of course, the law reflects the morality, the ethical base of civilization of a country. So you really do have to start looking at the morality, looking at the ethics. Fortunately, we have professors, including professors in American universities, who have been studying the moral issue with respect to global climate change. A leading one in the United States is Professor Brown. And they base, of course, the moral crime, the ethical crime, on human rights. And there we get to the UN, and the UN Office of Human Rights has been increasingly involved with the climate change issue for many years now. This is the human rights issue of all time. There's absolutely no question about that. We are looking at terrible impacts, which we've already had. I mean, we've already had disastrous and catastrophic impacts pretty well all around the world, driven, as the scientists now are able to tell us for sure, driven by global warming. And to make the point on that, hundreds of thousands of people, an estimate of 400,000 people every year are killed because of global warming and climate change, mainly, of course, extreme weather events. And mainly those are people in the most climate change vulnerable regions, who are also tragically the most climate change vulnerable populations, right? Right. So if you look at 400,000 per year over a number of years, we're talking about millions of people who have been completely unnecessarily and had their lives robbed from them, who have been killed with an intention for the politicians to make money, right, out of obstructing, and there's no question, it's right on the record, there's no question that the Republican Party in the United States has been obstructing any progress towards a really strong binding agreement at the United Nations. So therefore they would
be held responsible, or should be held responsible, for deaths that result from policies they're pushing.
Absolutely, of course they should.
You point out in your book a difference between the terms misinformation and disinformation. Why is it important to distinguish between those two?
Well, misinformation is where somebody appears to say, make a mistake, right? Okay. And disinformation is where it's really rather obvious that they're making a mistake on purpose. So, whereas, you know, some years ago, you could have given people the benefit of the doubt, and here I'm talking about leaders, I'm talking about influential people, you could have given them the benefit of the doubt, and maybe they really didn't understand, but there's absolutely no question now, right, where you have unequivocal global warming and climate change, and it's accelerating. I'm an expert reviewer from the IPCC, and one of the reasons is that I have a website where I post and monitor all of the indicators and direct observations of climate change. And of course, we're not looking only at catastrophic impacts to the planet, to the land. We're looking at equally catastrophic impacts, of course, to the oceans, because CO2, carbon dioxide, which is the main cause driver of global warming, is also the prime sole cause of ocean acidification. Mm. Ocean acidification is accelerating because atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration is accelerating. So you can see how grim the future is looking for these young people. And I watched them recently. They've got some little videos in which they've been interviewed. They range from all ranges. Some of them are really fairly young, and they speak so well for themselves and so well about the case that they're involved in. So it really, really is encouraging to know that these young people, with their legal assistance, are addressing this for really all of us, actually.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of how the issue of gun violence in the United States is finally getting some traction because young people are at the forefront and their leadership is so inspiring. And I feel like in a similar vein, to see young people lead the fight against climate change using the legal system is really quite remarkable. Now, your book's subtitle addresses not just climate science denial, but you say there are game changers for survival. What are these game changers that really need to come into the conversation, because it's not all doom and gloom?
No. It really is doom and gloom if you look at what's happening to the data, right? and that's gloomy for our futures, no question. But one of the absolutely unbelievable tragedies of this is that for years and years and years, we have known for sure that all of the fossil fuel industry can be replaced 100% by clean renewable energy. And as most people are aware, clean renewable energy, the technology and the deployment this is a wonderful story. Nothing has advanced and progressed anything like as fast in the entire history of human civilization than renewable clean energy is. It is an amazing, amazing story. So the science, the data is pretty tough reading. So I think it was probably my co-author Elizabeth Woodworth who suggested, we have to give the promising news and the good news as well. And I said yes. I always introduce my presentations with the good news, which is that we can get rid of fossil fuels completely. My wife, actually, Julie Johnson, she has a great phrase for that. She says the burning age is over. So we need and can have a non-combustion energized civilization. Now, that would be a massive golden leap for humanity. It's unbelievably bright. To think what we could do, humanity, right, with what is virtually unlimited, totally safe energy. And, of course, it's energy that doesn't have to come from central power points. By its very nature, renewable energy is widely distributed. So, you're seeing news clips on various news stories from Africa, for example, and there is a primitive village and it has solar power. So the prospect is unbelievably good of making this switch from off fossil fuel energy, which has got us where we are today, and progressing, which would be a real huge progression, onto renewable energy. So that's what makes this situation so tragic, and it also makes the crime so terrible.
Right, because it's not like there's no solutions.
Exactly, Sonali. There is zero excuse for what these people are doing. They're killing the future is what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and for the work that you've done in drawing attention to these critical existential issues.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Dr. Peter Carter is the founder of the Climate Energy Institute. He served as an expert reviewer for the IPCC's fifth climate change assessment. We've been discussing the new book he's co-authored with Elizabeth Woodworth called Unprecedented Crime, Climate Science Denial, and Game Changers for Survival. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.